Thanks, Carla. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Tuesday. Pancake Tuesday, Shrove Tuesday, tomorrow's Ash Wednesday. You're sick, I'd imagine, hearing about pancakes. Well, how could you ever be sick of pancakes? Although I heard a man on Morning Ireland this morning who's never had a pancake, doesn't like them. Doesn't like the look of them, doesn't like the taste of them, doesn't like the texture of them. Big fans on our team. We're big fans of pancakes. And we got really, really excited when we heard that TikTokers had a new hack. Oh, yes. They come out by the second. Remember back in during lockdown, we got really excited about the griddled quadrant wrap. Remember that one? And I made it for a number of weeks. We time in our hands back then. It was where you got your wrap and you laid it out, and then you had a quarter of cheese, then a quarter of chicken or ham or whatever your meat was, and then you had your tomato and chopped up onions, and then you had your lettuce, and you folded it over. You cut it up, just one radius of it, and then you quarters, and so you ended up with a sort of a quarter of a circle, and then you put it on your griddle pan, just press down lightly, and then slipped it over and pressed down slightly. And it was you know, it was lovely, it was delicious, but it was just time consuming, and the novelty wore off. But anyway, we haven't gone back to TikTok since then. But when we heard you could make pancakes in an air fryer, wow, that was a meeting of the worlds, wasn't it? It's a perfect storm. Because pancake choosing, of course, air fryer. Everyone's talking about air fryers. Have you got an air fryer? No, I haven't. Have you got the Ninja one? Have you got the two-drawer one? What do you do in it? Do you chips? Do you do sausages? Yeah, I did a whole side of a cow in it one day. And it was delicious. So, Grace kindly brought in her air fryer. I did up a batter at home before I came in. American style, because we thought it couldn't be too liquidy or it'd flow all over the place. So I did the American ones a little bit thicker. They're the smaller ones, a little bit fatter. You put self-raising flour in it. So we were all very excited. And we said we'd do a dry run. That's what you do, just in case the thing went on fire. Because what you have to do is you lay out some parchment paper, you pour the batter onto the parchment paper, it forms a circle, and then you put another parchment paper, then another pancake, more parchment paper, blah, blah, blah. So you've a stack. And they suggest you can do up to 6 pancakes in your air fryer. Just like that. No messing around with the pan and the butter getting burnt, too brown, getting stuck. Do you flip? Do you not flip? And all that sort of thing. This is going to change our world. This is going to change our world. So Niamh set it up on her desk, Grace's air fryer. I got the batter into a lovely little jug, Pyrex jug, poured it on. It looked like it looked on the video. That's a brilliant thing. Another parchment paper, another pancake, more batter. And 6 minutes at 180 or 160. So we did a little whir out of the air fryer. So, you know, things were working away. And next thing, a very muted ding at the end of it all. We all gathered round again, excited to see what had happened. Not great, lads. No colour. Very doughy. Not tasty. Very disappointing. So I thought I'd be bringing you good news today about making pancakes in an air fryer, according to the people on TikTok, but I can't. And the other thing is, and this is the dangerous thing, so I would suggest that you don't try it at all. What happened? It didn't quite catch fire, but the parchment paper was singed. And I don't know if you've ever smelt singed parchment paper, but it's not very pleasant. So we had people running down from the other end of the open plan office asking, were we setting the place on fire? And should they call the fire brigade? We said, no. It's just a little air fryer incident. Everything is okay. So we are persona non grata up in the open plan office. We apologise to everybody for that little smell of singed parchment. But stay away from the air fryer with your pancake batter. So that's that. Hopefully, we will have better results as we join Sinead Ní Uachtaráin. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Where are you?
Well, Ray, I'm in the City of Tribes, Cahar na Drav in Galway. Do you remember that ad?
No. Go on.
Maybe it was before your time.
Or after my time.
Or after your time. I was trying to be nice.
What was it? Go on.
Galway. It was about this guy who had released a single called Galway. That was the title of it. And he opened his boot at the end of the ad and he had
all the CDs. Yes, I do remember now that you say it, that you describe it. You're in a windy Galway there. The wind is coming
enough.
In from the Atlantic Ocean there. It's blowing onto your microphone. If you can shelter the microphone for us, it would be great. There you go. Yeah.
I'm walking down the side streets here in Galway. I'm on my way up to Newcastle Road and University Road because I'm about to taste some pancakes today.
Right.
Yeah, there's a place here called Mr. Waffle and I'm not sure who the owner... Well, I am sure who the owner is. It's a man named Kevin Nugent, but I don't know if he resembles a cartoon character, a Mr. Waffle-style person.
Right.
But I'm on my way up to him because I was talking to him there yesterday and he was telling me that this is the busiest day of the year for him and that he expects to sell 4,000 pancakes today.
That's
Can you believe that?
That's a lot of batter and a lot of flipping.
And no air fryers.
No air fryers. Do you know, before you go on, you introduced Galway as the city of tribes. I was told from a very young age that Darcys were one of the tribes of Galway. You know,
Galway, a
nomadic sort of tribe. And then back in the 90s, I was in Kenny's bookshop when I was there on Shop Street. And Mr. Kenny introduced me to a book. And in that book, I read that, no, the Darcys weren't one of the tribes of Galway. They were actually quite... there were aristocrats and conquistadors. So I don't know where the mix-up came, but so I walked out of Kenny's bookshop back in the 90s, 2 inches taller, with my chest out. I'm proud to be a Darcy, an aristocrat and a conquistador, yes.
You
sound very at home in Galway, Sinead.
Yeah, I like Galway as a city. We used to come here on holidays during the summer when I was younger. It's nice because you kind of have a mixture of city life but also country life as well because you're not too far from Connemara and the coast and from the ocean. So it's quite a nice mix, isn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, there's a buzz in the city. Where Mr. Waffle is based, it's up there by University Road. So you have the university itself nearby, but you also have the hospital as well. So there's a lot of footfall for Mr. Right. Waffle. And it's just, there's a buzz. There's always a bit of a buzz in Galway, isn't there?
There's a lovely sound of spring in the background there.
Yeah, can you hear the birds?
Yes, yeah. Lovely sound of spring. It's a beautiful day out there. Is it beautiful in Galway as well?
It's nice. I wouldn't say it's beautiful.
Okay. It's beautiful.
It's a little bit, rub it in. I know, it's a little bit grey here and a little bit windy, but it's not too bad.
So you were out and about in Galway this morning?
I was. I went as far as Shop Street because I was curious about Pancake Tuesday and curious to see if people still celebrated it and if they were as hardcore as perhaps I was when I was younger about eating pancakes on this day. So I got talking to a few people about what traditions they have and what they like to put on their pancakes. Can you remember who you learned how to make pancakes from?
My mother.
And what about you guys, Rita and Kay? Who did you learn how to make pancakes from?
The mother, of course.
The mother,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
The mother, yeah.
And we try to follow the tradition, do you know what I mean? And of course, things are changing now, you know. You never hear of the natural yogurt and the fruit before. People are going a bit healthier, I think, really now.
Nutella, of course, now as well. Is another nice one
for us. The kids love the Nutella. Love the Nutella and that, yeah.
And absolutely, when it's the start of Lent as well, you want to get rid of everything that's nice and sweet in the house.
Yes, yeah. It's one way of getting rid of that, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Margaret, Rita and Kay, they sound like they're having the crack and with the Nutella. You heard me talking about our adventure or misadventure with the air fryer. The text in said, what did you do wrong? We made them this morning in the air fryer and did it pretty much how you did it with the layers of parchment paper. We thought they were gorgeous.
Wow.
We smother them in Nutella, whatever you're having yourself, and top them with marshmallows, says Saoirse. Now, Niamh did suggest that maybe my batter was at fault, but I find that hard to believe.
Don't believe that.
The air fryer changed my life, so somebody else will try the pancakes and see, says Liam in San Antonio, Texas. Be careful with the parchment paper. Who else did you meet on Shop Street?
I also met Sophie and Charlotte, and they were telling me about what toppings they absolutely love on their pancakes.
I know, I'd say we will later. We haven't eaten anything yet. We're usually pancake evening girls.
We are.
Here in the morning.
Bit of a dinner for us. Turn into us later.
And when you say dinner, what would you put into them? Does it have to be savoury?
We do the savoury first. So cheese, ham at the start, and then go into like the sweeter.
Yeah, but
Nutella,
dessert.
Strawberries.
Strawberries, a whole lot.
What's your ultimate favourite topping?
Oh, I'd say strawberries and Nutella.
Strawberries and Nutella.
We're sweet.
A load of Nutella, yeah. We like our sweet stuff.
And Lent is only around the corner. Will you guys be giving something up, or will you be taking something on?
We'd want to start taking on a bit of exercise after rag week anyways. Start
eating
healthy.
Rolling around the place.
So yeah, definitely taking up eating healthier and gyming a bit. Yeah.
There you go. Sinead and Charlotte. That's nice, isn't it? You make a load of pancakes and you go from the savoury to dessert all on the pancake.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Christmas dinner where you have something savoury and then you have dessert afterwards, and then you feel like you need something savoury after that again, and you just end up eating all day long.
Yeah, but that, yeah, it's a sort of a waves of it. Here's the thing, what's your favourite topping?
I like banana and chocolate spread. When I was growing up, I used to have sugar and a little bit of lemon juice from time to time, but my taste has changed.
Yeah, we did them at home over the weekend, and I, for the first time in a long time, had the lemon juice and sugar, and it just immediately I was back in the kitchen in Kildare. You know, that's what food does to you, doesn't it?
It
and
does.
Smells, and it was just it was a nice little happening there over the weekend, and the batter was perfect. Niamh, if she's listening upstairs, just so you know. Okay, so you're on your way to Mr. Waffle.
I certainly am, yes, okay. And hopefully I'll get to make some pancakes in a few minutes' time.
Great, and we'll talk to you then. It's coming up to 4 o'clock. Thanks, Sinead. Mind yourself.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Bye. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon. Whitney Houston, her version of Higher Love. And the movie of her life is now available to stream on Apple. We watched it over the weekend. It's not up there with Elvis. Not as good as the James Brown one either. It's okay. And the fact that she had so many brilliant songs and she's such a brilliant singer, that carries it along. And she had an interesting life, albeit tragic and sad. Now, we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done It quiz. You'll be asked to answer three Who Done It questions each on music, sport, books, films, politics, comedy, TV, anything that involves human endeavour. And like all Who Done It, there will be clues. If you answer without a clue, you get two. If you ask for a clue, it's easier, so you get 1 point. And there is a prize. And this week, it's a two-night stay at the Tower Hotel and Leisure Centre in Waterford City. It's in the heart of Waterford City. The Tower Hotel and Leisure Centre and Neville Hotel offers the city's most central location, overlooking Reginald's Tower on the doorstep of the vibrant Viking Triangle. And loads of things to do around there. And when you've done all that, you can go back to the Tower Hotel Leisure Centre and swim in their 20-metre pool and have dinner in Hobson's Restaurant. And Mount Congreve Gardens and Waterford Treasures are also giving the winner tickets for their town and country experience, which includes access to Mount Congreve Gardens and all five of Waterford Treasures museums. And you can find out more at towerhotelwaterford.com. towerhotelwaterford.com. Here is your qualifying question today, this Tuesday afternoon. What is a more traditional pancake topping today, lemon and sugar or lemon and lime? Which is the more traditional, lemon and sugar or lemon and lime? 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Now, yesterday we were all talking in the office about the BAFTAs and Barry Keoghan and Kerry Condon and all of that. And about the fact that Richard D. Grant presented it alongside Alison Hammond. And Niamh says, I think I've an email for Richard D. Grant. She might as well send him off an email and see if he'll come on and talk to us. And she did. And he got back and he said, I'm sort of not available till 6:30. And Niamh said, well, the show's over at 4:30. And then ding, at 4:25, Richard E. Grant replied saying, I'm available now. And of course, we were talking to Conor Pope. The show was nearly over. And we decided, hold him there. Hold Richard E. Grant there and we'll talk to him and we'll play out the interview tomorrow, which is today. So that interview that we did yesterday, immediately after the show, is coming up after this commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Delighted to be joined by the host of Sunday Evening's BAFTAs, Richard E. Grant. Good afternoon. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's a poison chalice doing it. You never know. You're going to... Just by doing it, you're going to offend somebody somewhere. So, you know.
When you got the call, how did you react?
I thought immediately that, you know, the best way I can put it is, I thought, well, it's like a peanut selection if they're choosing a host for BAFTAs, that you either go, you know, caramelized, dry roasted, you know, are you going to skewer people like a comedian, or do you do caramelized, you know, salty, or just plain Ricky Gervais Armageddon, where if you're a solo comedian, you can skewer everybody in the room and still carry on working. But because of the job I do, because I'm an actor, I have to collaborate and work with other actors, writers, and directors, so all of whom are the most powerful on the planet in that room. Mm. So the last thing you want to do is do that, you know.
So what sort of nut are you then, is the question, I suppose.
That's for somebody else to decide. Okay. I thought, well, you just got to be as heartfelt, as sincere as you possibly can be, because I'm a fanboy of so many, you know. Mm.
That must have added to the nerves, Richard, because you're there and you're looking out at all these people and you're picking them off. You know, there's Emma Thompson, there's Baz Luhrmann, you know, like it's all of these people.
Well, the advantage of it is, you know, in the fear of committing career aside, I knew that. Once I saw the nominations, I thought, well, I know the majority of people, or have worked with most of them, who have been nominated. So that helps a lot. Of course, you feel really bad because every bookie it seemed like, you know, Colin Farrell was an absolute dead cert to win.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I felt so bad for him because I know that situation of having been in that 3 years ago when I was nominated for a film that I was in. You then have to, you spend your evening consoling the people that feel so disappointed on your behalf. So it's sort of a weird situation to be in that, you know, I've never spoken to anybody about it and never anticipated that, but I could feel for Colin I imagine that's partly what he was going through.
Hopefully
the Oscars will rectify it.
Hopefully. From your experience of that, I suppose you don't really want people to come over and commiserate with you. You'd prefer to be left alone, I would imagine, because what do you think?
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is that there was such a groundswell. You know, it really was England versus Germany. So I thought that if they're getting, you know, Barry Keane won and then Kerry Condon won, both of whom I worked with and absolutely loved, I thought, well, it seems a sure path that because all of Western Front wasn't getting acting nominations or awards, that Colin was definitely on the path to glory, but
it didn't happen.
It wasn't.
Alison Hammond was your co-presenter.
Yes.
Babe. And you could be getting the call to do more, the two E together, do you think?
I have no idea. I mean, it's what she does for a living. That's her full-time job, whereas I was rookieing on it.
But you just looked to be enjoying yourself so much. There was a sort of a youthful, nervous energy about the whole thing, which was very appealing.
Good. Well, at the age of 65 and three quarters, to be called youthful energy, I'm very grateful for that. Right. It's very diplomatically put.
And you were up this morning then recording an audiobook.
I have been, there all day. Yep, just finished.
Right. There's a sort of an energy, isn't there? The adrenaline's pumping through the veins.
It does. Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's like being in the Swedish Job of Fame. You just meet, you know, every person you've ever wanted to meet in your whole life is in there. That's why they asked me, because they knew that I wasn't going to go out there and skewer people. And because I'd been so enthusiastic in the award circuit 3 years ago, I thought, give this guy a run around.
Yeah. And you were canvassing for work as well, which was nice. I like that.
Tongue in cheekily.
I know, but still, you know, tongue in cheek or whatever, you got the message out there, which was great. So what happens after that, a thing like that? Because it went live for that last, what was it, 2 quarters of an hour?
Half hour.
And you were building up to that. And of course, you were working away towards that. And then it went live. And then was there a sort of a shot to the arm for the live bit?
There was a 20-second break between the stuff that we'd been recording.
Yeah.
And then they said, there's 20 seconds that you've got to fill in with the audience. And, you know, at that point, I had to warn them that whoever came up on the stage in the live half hour, not to swear, not to do this, not to do that.
Yeah.
And I blew off a couple of expletives into the house just to...
just clear the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. So it's been a sort of a bittersweet few years for you, hasn't it? Because there's a renaissance and then you lost your poor wife. So bittersweet. How are you now?
It's, you know, it's a sort of daily daily navigation of that. You know, it's been 15 months since she died, and she was very smart. And then she said to my daughter and I just before she died to find a pocket full of happiness in each day. And it's become a great sort of guide and mantra to deal with things. So, you know, last night was a bucket full.
Yeah. So that'll do you for a few weeks anyway.
What the exactly. Yeah.
Isn't that a lovely, that's a lovely thing, a pocket full of happiness.
Pocket full of happiness.
Ah, yeah. That's lovely. Yeah. So are you, as well as getting offered the BAFTAs, you're getting offers of audiobooks and films?
Yes, I'm about to start doing an HBO comedy series directed by Sam Mendes about the making of a Marvel comic type thing called The Franchise.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so I'm doing that next.
So it's poking fun.
I have employment.
So it's poking fun at the whole Marvel franchise thing.
Yeah.
Which is, that's loads of comedy potential there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hope so.
Are you finished the audiobook or is it a week long?
No, finished.
You're finished, all right. Yeah. So what does this evening hold for you then?
I am going to go home right now and go into the feathers, into the scratcher.
You're right. You deserve it. You deserve it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ray.
So now all eyes are on the Oscars. So knowing what you do and doing what you do, we're very hopeful because there's a lot of Irish nominees this year. The most ever.
Absolutely. A landslide ever. You have Darren McCormack.
Yes.
So Gleeson.
Who do you think might walk away with an Oscar? Barry Keoghan?
I hope that Barry gets it, and I certainly hope that Colin does.
Have you ever worked with Colin?
Really do. No, but my late wife, worked with him a lot, and so that's how I know him.
Aha, she was a voice coach.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she worked with him a lot.
It's interesting because Austin Butler thanked his voice coach last night.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you obviously noticed that because of your
voice. I did, absolutely, yeah. I think that if you're playing Elvis, you can't not, if he didn't mention his voice coach, you'd have been really remiss.
He probably would have said to her, I wish I could have, got rid of the accent quicker, the voice, but thank you, you were so good that I was talking like him for months afterwards. I think he's shed it now, has he, the Elvis
thing? I think so,
yeah. I was expecting to say thank you very much, but he didn't. Richard E. Grant, we will talk again, I'm sure. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Ray.
And congratulations again. Thanks for taking time.
Thank you so much.
Bye now. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
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 The Ray Darcy Show. That's
what we
Radio
take with us today.
Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Richard E. Grant was so emotional on Sunday during the memorial. It was lovely to see real feelings displayed on such a big stage, says Zoe. And Antoinette says, Richard E. Grant was wonderful on Sunday night. Love him. And that pocket full of happiness is a lovely thing to take with us from that little chat. Anne says, I've read Richard's book, which was just a lovely treat to read. He comes across so lovely and obviously he was so much in love with his late wife and still grieving. And there's loads of stuff on pancakes, which we'll get back to because we have to catch up with Sinead when she goes down to Mr. Waffle. Sitting in front of me, best friends, Susan Oakes and Barry O'Brien Lynch. They're from Navan. And they're on their way to Canada, take part in Ski Jour Doux, Canada. The greatest show on snow. I don't know who said that about it, but back in 2020, just before the world changed, Susan and Barry won the World Ski Jouring Championship. Yeah, I know. I didn't know about it until today as well. So, Susan, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Barry, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Ray.
Great to see you. Congratulations on your win back in 2020.
Yeah.
And so you're back now going to Canada very shortly to defend your title.
Yeah, we really are. We're very excited to be invited back to Canada. So it's
whereabouts in Canada does it happen?
It's in Calgary.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's best equipped to explain ski jouring? Is it an official sport?
It's an official sport. Yeah.
Is it an Olympic sport?
It is not an Olympic sport.
Not yet.
No. I think there aren't enough mad people in the world just to take part in it yet. It might work its way through the countries and end up in Europe and Asia and everywhere else. It has to end up in. As long as it doesn't end up in Russia, we'll be all right.
Ski jouring.
So ski jouring is it originated. It's obviously 100 years old. Where a horse or a pack of dogs pulls a skier. So that's the original use. It's kind of a Nordic way of getting around the place. So it's been adapted now to the sport where you have a ridden horse pulling a skier.
Okay.
So your skier's attached to a rider on a horse and it's 3-2-1 go.
Ski jouring.
Ski jour,
right. I was looking at it. It's a mad sport.
It is mental.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like water skiing, just on snow.
Yes.
It's a bit like that.
Yeah, yes.
If you change the boat for a horse.
Yeah.
And you change the water skis for real skis.
Yeah. 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 Very similar. Yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They have those similar. The ramps.
Yeah.
And you fly off at the top.
Jumps and all that. Yeah.
Obstacles, all that sort of thing. So you're the man on the skis, Barry.
I'm the guy in the skis and the schmuck in the skis.
Right. And Susan, you're the woman on the horse.
I'm the woman on the horse.
She's the question, yeah.
Right. And you know each other forever?
Yeah.
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Grow up together.
Right.
We live a mile apart.
Park. Yeah.
In the countryside in County Meath. And
whereabouts in County Meath?
Close to Johnstown Village.
Ah, yes. Navan. A hotbed of ski joring.
Yeah. So it never was before.
Where all the madness happened.
Yeah.
So how, Susan, how did it happen?
So it happened, I was actually invited to ride in the Calgary Stampede and I became...
And what's that?
It's like meant to be the greatest show in the world where cowboys and horses and cattle come together and it's a 10-day show. People from all over the world go to it and I was invited to ride in it and the lady that was over it, I became friends with her and I invited her back. So I said to Barry, would he come down to the pub and meet her? Right. So we were sitting at the bar having a few drinks and we just said to her, what do you do during the winter? What's your sport? And she said, oh, ski joring. And we were like, what's that? And she told us. And then we were like, would you take a Team Ireland? And she said, game on. So,
that's how
it happened.
That was it, yeah. We saw if she started running off a few videos and it just looked like the craziest thing I'd ever seen. I said, just sign me up.
So you're a good skier?
Yeah, I've been on skiing holidays. I'd be capable. You know,
okay.
You go off with the lads there for a weekend. Yes, you can ski. I can get myself around a mountain.
And you're a very capable horsewoman. Mm.
Yeah.
How you describe a horsewoman?
Yeah, I'd be quite
Have you got
capable.
A record for something? Or is
yeah, who? I'm a Guinness World I have a Guinness World Record for a jump in the highest jump side saddle. I jumped 6'8".
See, there, that says it all as well, doesn't it?
There you go. Yeah. I should be handy enough, like.
Yeah. Side saddle. You wouldn't be happy enough to do it.
Not a stride. Just has to go that extra little bit further.
So you cleared 6'8" side saddle.
Yeah.
And of course, I would imagine when you're on the horse properly, you can anchor yourself. You dig your heels in.
Yeah.
You're part of it.
Yeah.
So side saddle, you don't have that.
No, it took a lot of training
talk me through it.
So a side saddle is very different than riding a stride. You have your two legs on the left-hand side. So I had to train. I thought it would only take me 8 weeks to get this job done because it was done in 1915. Someone had jumped 6'6". And I saw a caption, are you brave enough? So I just took it as a personal challenge. Well, it didn't turn out in 8 weeks. It took me 2.5 years of training full time. I learned an awful lot of valuable lessons on the ways. There was lots of highs and lows. But yeah, to do it, it was get to that day and do it.
When did you break the record?
In 2013.
Which had been standing for nearly 100 years.
Yeah.
Right. And have people attempted to beat your record?
No one has attempted it so far.
It's a bit niche. Because back in the day, all women had to ride side saddle.
Yeah, everyone rode side saddle because that was just the way.
It was done. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Right. Okay, I'm getting just a picture of you and how your brain works.
Yeah. That could be interesting.
Okay, now there is an obvious comparison to cool running.
Yes.
You know, that's the Jamaican bobsleigh team who and that's a real story.
Yeah.
They went and they took part in the Olympics
in Calgary.
Right, all right.
Yeah.
And the reason the comparison is, of course, Jamaica not known for its snow.
Yeah.
Neither is Navan, or not known for its snow, is it?
Yeah. No.
So how do you train?
Well, I suppose the first year, we hadn't really a clue going over. So the very first year, we were trying to figure out what that pull would be like, to go from a standing start to fast. How do you stand? Where should you be? So anyway, we got a lump of carpet and a kid sled and an old tractor and started. Susan was pulling me up and down the yard trying to feel... Where your body balance should be, how you should dip, keep the skis in front of you, what should you be doing? So we mucked around with that for a while. with anyway varying success. Yes, but anyway, yes. it was all right in the end. So we got that kind of pull. So I figured out that keep skis in front, bum down, hands up, and
knees
bent, and then take that first hit, and then you can get up onto the skis and you're away. So
because you know motor skiing is you sort of sit down, don't you, in the water.
The skis, your tips of your skis are sticking up out of the water. Yes. and you put, then you use your upper body strength to pull you out of the water.
Is it similar in ski joring?
In ski joring, what you're trying to do is you're getting a lateral pull from the back of the horse. And the skis are obviously underneath you. So what you need to do is keep the skis in front of you until your body balance can get your upper body over the front of the skis again and get yourself steered up the course.
So you managed to work out all this in a farmyard on a piece of carpet and a kid's sleigh been pulled by an old tractor. Well done.
Exactly. Yeah. That was it. And so we figured out once you play around with it, once you kind of write, well, okay, it's the similar. There are similar, obviously, forces, you know. Yes, so we just have to just figure it out. And so anyway, this time, anyway, after being there once, we obviously realised that the friction on the carpet is too much, is more than the snow.
The snow, yes.
So we stuck a couple of skateboards onto skis. So we're able to, because there's obviously less friction there. Yeah. So I rode
a horse instead of driving a tractor this time.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get this picture. This is like, can I have the rights to the movie? Can I buy them? How much do you want for the rights to the movie? Are you going out as a romantic thing as well?
No.
Now we can just write that in. Poetic license. Is there no danger of a romantic thing? No.
Best of friends.
No, there'd have to be something in the movie. You know,
in the movie, anything can happen.
That embrace. Do you know those movies where everyone can see?
Yeah,
the only people who can't see it are actually themselves.
We can write it in.
You can write it in. Write it in.
Never let the truth get in the way of a story.
So you've strapped skateboards onto skis.
Onto the skis. Yeah.
Right.
So Susan was able to be mounted now this time. So she obviously realises that you've the rope up, and it's Susan's an awful lot to do.
Yes.
In the race, you know, Susan she's to hold the rope.
Well, initially, because the pull must be you get momentum.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm holding the rope, so I'm having the pressure of him.
But it's not wrapped around.
Yeah. So
the
I dally it up three times around the horn and the front of the Western saddle.
Right.
But if I let that go, Barry is gone, so there's a huge force there for me to hold.
Okay.
So yeah, that was really, for me, that was very difficult to kind of come to terms with. And then I'm riding the horse with one hand, and the quarter horse is so fast off the start because they're famous for running over a quarter of a mile. So the power of the takeoff and the force, and then all the snow being thrown back into Barry's
face
everywhere. everywhere.
And so there's different events, is there? There's a speed one, and there's an obstacle one where you have to collect rings, is there?
Well they're all pretty much speed,
okay.
Apart from the long jump, which is distance and style.
So that's upper ramp and
upper ramp and out as far as you can go. I'm probably not going to do that one.
Right,
I'm
okay.
going to try and skip that one. But with the obstacle course, relay race, the sprint, and the Alpine Lounge race,
right?
And the Alpine Lounge is we had it built the last time we were out there. So it's a sofa on a pallet with two snowboards screwed to the bottom of the pallet, and every lounge has to be the same. So all the teams, whatever teams are out there that want to enter it, they have to make up a lounge with a sofa, a lamp, a coffee table.
And what does the poor horse have to pull that?
Two horses,
and two riders. Yeah,
right.
So it's like to kind of emulate that we're sitting in a pub, basically. So,
Where it all started. When are you going to Canada?
I'm flying out tomorrow, so that I'll be there a day earlier, just to get the feel of the horse.
Yeah.
And
do you know what his name or her name is?
So her name is Sassy.
Sassy. Oh, great name. Yeah, Sassy. Right. Do you wear the green of Ireland?
Yep.
All right.
I've a green onesie. Yeah. It's very bright. So you can't be missed.
Right. How can we follow you?
Skijore.com.
Skijore. Skijore, is it?
J-O-R.
There's no E, right.
No.
Skijore Canada.
Canada.
Okay. Right. Of course, it was before the world went mad. You won back in 2020, around this time of the year, obviously. Yeah. Just before lockdown.
Yeah.
And was it the world change? It was, obviously, at that time. The world was changing. You were aware that...
There was only a little bit, because I flew from Mexico up to Calgary and there was only like one or two people wearing masks at that stage.
Okay.
But when I flew back into Mexico, like lockdown came kind of straight after that and you just got home in time.
Yeah. I'm thinking that brilliant movie Eat the Peach. Remember that, where they built the thing for the motorbikes?
Yeah, the Wall of Death.
Yeah. And I'm thinking Eddie the Eagle, another brilliant one, and Cool Running. Yeah. There's a history of these type of movies.
There is.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done.
And if it happens, I want in. Okay.
Brilliant.
I want in. Okay, brilliant, yeah. So there you go. You heard it first here. Susan Oakes and Barry O'Brien Lynch. Team Ireland for Ski Jor 2023, which has happened in Canada. And not only are they returning, but they're returning as reigning champions.
There we go.
Yes. So we'll talk to you on the phone or something like that when you're over there.
Brilliant. Yeah, no problem.
Great to see you. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
Barry, I was going to call you Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That's great, isn't it? Ski joring. Just on the pancakes in the air fryer, Olive has been on. She's using capitals. So you should have consulted the air fryer manual before capitals. You started cooking pancakes. Instructions on the Ninja one anyway say batter cannot, capitals, be put into the device. Thanks, Olive. It's not a Ninja, but to do it on TikTok. That's not a defence. I know it's not a defence. Why do most people refer to today as Pancake Tuesday? It's not. It's Shrove Tuesday. And we just happen to eat pancakes. That's like calling Christmas Day Turkey Day, because most people happen to eat turkey on that day. Says Mike in Limerick. Thanks, Mike. Enjoy your pancakes. I'll be topping my pancakes with bacon and maple syrup this evening. That's Moira in Dublin. And please read out your pancake recipe. I moved house and can't find my cookery books and can't remember the quantities. Help! I'm a disaster. I was saying yesterday, and it's lovely fond memories, that my dad used to come on every... Before he died, he used to come on every Pancake Tuesday and give out his pancake recipe and we'd have a chat. And lovely, fond memories. And this is a confession to make, but I've changed from my dad's recipe and it's to Nevin Maguire's. It's slightly different. Slightly different. I hope dad doesn't mind. So it's instead of one egg, it's two eggs. So it's 100 grams of plain flour, 300 millilitres of milk, two eggs, one tablespoon of sunflower. Whisk it all up. You don't have to leave it stand. That's a myth, I believe. Butter for the frying. Don't let it burn. And a hint, make sure you take the pan off between pancakes, because that's what happens sometimes, is you leave it on, the butter burns and then it gets all smelly and all that sort of thing. Anyway, we'll put that up. 100 grams of plain flour, 300 millilitres of milk, two eggs and one tablespoon of sunflower oil, and mix it all up. There you go. Which brings us nicely on to Sinead Ní Uachtaráin, who's in Galway with Mr. Waffle. 4,000 pancakes today. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Now, come on. What's going on?
I'm great, because guess where I'm standing? I'm in the food truck looking out at Mr. Waffle. Not the Mr. Waffle, but at the cafe. And by my side is the owner of Mr. Waffle, Mr. Kevin Nugent. And I think we might have an opportunity to flip some pancakes today.
Oh, great. Hey, how are you doing, Kevin?
Ray, how are you?
Good, good. How long have you been in business?
This is our 12th year, Ray. We opened in 2010.
Great. Obviously, Waffle is your main business, is it?
Yeah, so we have 8 stores, but one Mr. Waffle, and we own 4 Ground & Co's and another brand called Delight. So we have quite a few operations.
Okay. Now, Pancake Tuesday, as Sinead was telling us at the top of the show, is a big day for you.
Massive day, yeah. We're hoping to hit 4,000 pancakes today, and we're currently, the last time we just checked there, before coming on air, we're at 3,500 pancakes.
Who's counting?
Well, it's about 4 poor members of staff, and each one of them will tell you exactly how many they've met. Yeah. They're absolutely ruined in the back there in the kitchen, to be fair.
Now, obviously, you're doing wholesale batter amounts, but when you make them at home, do you have your own little recipe?
I'd be honest, Ray, in the last 12 years since we opened Waffle, I couldn't touch a pancake after these days. And I am very much wholesale. Like, we've practiced, 3,600 eggs yesterday. So I don't really work in small amounts. It's all yes, large quantities.
Okay, okay. What about toppings? What are people going for?
Oh, it's got to be the strawberries, the milk chocolate, or the Nutella. They're definitely the most popular.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for us. And then after that, it's the old school traditional, a bit of lemon, a bit of butter and a bit of lemon.
Right. And any oddball requests?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of. You'd have a few people that might want certain things. But no, overall, no. It's a really fun day to be here, to be fair. Yeah. The shop is packed since early this morning.
Okay.
And no.
Definitions there. Okay, let's. Now that we have you and you're an expert, what's the difference between a pancake and a crepe?
Pancakes are thick and fluffy, and a crepe is thin.
All right. Now, you see, I like my pancakes thin. Does that mean I'm actually eating crepes?
No, it doesn't. You might necessarily like it. We put a lot of... So all our mixes were made, say, yesterday for producing the pancakes today so that they rise higher. So we call them like the USA-style pancakes.
Yes,
thicker. So if you make the mix today, use it today, you can make them, certainly make them thinner. And then obviously very thin would be, we classify as crepe.
Now there's something you've said there, maybe the solution to our air fryer problem. So I used in my batter, I used half plain flour and half self-raising flour. So I needed to let that sit, did I?
It would be better if you could let that sit from the day before, the evening before. You'll definitely get a better rise in the pan and the pancakes. Ray, it's the traditional way. You got to use a pan.
I know.
You can't use an air fryer.
Look, Kevin, we do a radio show. We have to do something, you know?
I know you have to keep everyone happy, but no. You got to be old school.
Well, I think after that little experiment, we will be staying old school and definitely old school tonight. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now in Mr. Waffle there, you use a hot plate, but actually in the truck where you are, have you got a pan that you can let our Sinead
use? We're using a crepe ring that's all set up and ready for Sinead. We have the batter at the side ready for the spatula, ready for flipping, and hopefully she flips straight onto the ring and we'll be fine.
Have you done anything like this before, Sinead?
In home economics class long ago. Yeah, absolutely.
Look at you.
That was only a few years ago.
Have you got pointers from Kevin? Has he given you pointers?
I certainly do. So I have the ladle here by my side. I have the mix that has been made. It's been made since last night. He told me one ladle full, that's it.
Right.
And to put it onto the pan and to leave it on the pan for 90 seconds.
A long time in radio. A long time in radio.
A long time in radio. Right. I might as well get on with it.
Just ladle it on there and I'll chat to you. Yeah.
You should. I'll describe the batter. It's so lovely and thick. Yeah. Usually when I make these at home, I get it all wrong. And usually it's quite liquidy, but this is lovely and thick. Now Kevin was telling me earlier that it doesn't really matter what shape you put the batter on the grill, because it kind of just evens out, doesn't it, Kevin?
Yeah. It finds its own shape, there wouldn't be perfectly circular or anything like that, but it'll find its own shape.
Well, I've just put it on the grill there, so start the clock, 90 seconds or so. I've got the spatula by my side and some warm water as well to help me flip the pancake. I also have a little spray of oil to put on the grill, so I might do that now. Is that cool, Kevin?
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like I've entered somebody else's kitchen and that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
You're seeking permission. Yeah.
Okay, here goes. Hopefully you'll hear the...
There you go.
Did you hear that?
I did. I don't know if our listeners did. Lovely sound, yeah. Nice sound.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I can see here to the side that he has some cream, some chocolate, some strawberries, and we have some other toppings as well. So I don't know exactly what I'll put on it. Oh, that's caramel, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, I might go for that. Okay, got my spatula.
And Kevin, it's that lovely mixture of textures, isn't it, that you're getting there?
Oh yeah, and like some people, we have Biscoff as well that we can put on top, so you can get the lovely soft, and then you have the Biscoff crunchy on top, or Oreo toppings, and strawberries. Yeah,
nice. And then of course you've hot and cold as well, which is another appealing thing mix.
Yeah, well, if they're coming fresh off like that, and you put your chocolate on it, even if the chocolate's not fully melted, give it a few seconds on top of your pancake and it's lovely.
Yeah, lovely. Is it flipping time yet?
Well, I think, how's it looking, Kevin? Because you're
good
the
to go.
Okay, I got a thumbs up raise.
Okay,
so I think
flip,
it's time
flip
to
away.
Shine.
Flip.
Okay. Oh, can you hear it?
Yes.
Oh, hang on. Oh,
wait.
Yay! It kind of fell a little bit there from me, but still, as Kevin said, it doesn't really matter about the shape. They don't have to be necessarily circular or round, right?
And Sinead, it's radio. Just
it's radio. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant! Well done, Sinead. Yes, perfectly circular. Yeah. Right? Yeah, well done.
So, now I'll have to try and decide what toppings to put on top.
What do you think you're going to go for?
Well, the strawberries are looking very inviting here by my side. They look great and fresh, and perhaps mix them with... Was it Sophie who said earlier in the Vox Pop that she likes strawberries and chocolate mixed together? So
she
I think that's Nutella.
She said strawberries Nutella. That's what she said.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Now, when you're doing that,
here from Kevin.
When you're doing that, Kevin, just, I know that you've been raising money for charity over the years. There's somebody who's listening to us and beeping their horn. There, you're on live radio. Well done. So just mention a quick mention for the charity before we leave you.
Yeah, so it's a local charity with a national presence called Act for Meningitis. Something that's very close to our hearts now after 10 years of supporting them.
Great. And listen, thanks for letting us be with you today, because it's one of your busiest days of the year. And good luck in getting to 4,000 pancakes. Mr.
Thanks,
Waffle
Ray.
In Galway there. Sinead Eulachán, good morning. Good to meet you.
Slán.
Bye. Yeah, so that's lovely there, isn't it? Just reaction to Richard there. Richard E. Grant from earlier on. The Desert Island Disc episode with Richard E. Grant is worth a listen. He's an incredible and heartbreaking story to tell. Have the tissues ready, says Sonia. That's lovely. And on pancakes, my pancakes are made with 2 eggs, oatmeal, add a little lemon yogurt, cook with fry light, serve it, more yogurt and fruit over the top. Yummy. And ski joring, loved hearing about the ski joring sport. Thought you were having me on. Would love to watch it. They should show it on RTE. They should. It isn't April 1st. Have we got time for a little bit of Christy? We have. Yeah, a couple of minutes of Christy before we get to Nóacht. Good morning. Thank you very much. 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. We have a chat with Inhaler to come. But first, our Who Done It quiz. I know it should be Who Did It. We have 2 quizzers standing by, and there is a prize. It's a 2-night stay for 2 people in the Tower Hotel and Leisure Centre in Waterford City. It's a Neville Hotel, and it's right smack in the middle of Waterford City, overlooking Reginald's Tower on the doorstep of the vibrant Viking Triangle. And when you've discovered everything there is to discover in the locality, Mount Congreve Gardens and the Waterford Treasures, you can go back to the hotel and swim in their 20-metre pool. TowerHotelWaterford.com. TowerHotelWaterford.com. Hello, Tony Burke.
Hello, Ray.
How are things?
Not too bad at all.
You're in Ballinasloe, but you're on the way back to Dublin.
That's correct.
Right. And what do you do for a living?
I work for Aer Lingus, delivering lost luggage.
Ah. What sort of reactions do you get from people when they're reunited with their lost luggage?
Mostly very good, Ray,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
Yeah,
people are just allowed to be returned, have their bags returned.
Standing there in their pyjamas with their halitosis because they haven't washed their teeth in 3 days, beards.
Yeah.
So that it is. It's a sort of good news story, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing 3 bags and I only have 2.
Right. That's not going to work.
And the one they really want is the one I haven't got.
Right. Okay. I can hear from your voice that that has happened to you. We won't go into the details of that. Okay.
Yeah.
How long will it take you to get back home?
Probably about 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Right. And you're in charge of the pancakes, I believe.
I am indeed.
What is it about pancakes and men? Is it, it's a bit like the barbecue, is it?
Yeah, it probably is.
Right, yeah. And,
I just love, yeah.
Would you experiment with an air fryer?
No, I think I'd rather do it a traditional way.
Yeah, and what will you top them with?
Plain lemon and sugar, or sometimes I like a bit of raspberry jam.
Oh, yes, yes, that's nice. That's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't venture into yogurt and berries or anything like that? Nothing fancy?
No.
Traditional, yeah. Okay.
Traditional.
And who will you be making them for?
Oh, just myself and my wife, Joan.
Right. And she's...
I had my daughter on the phone last night asking me how to do the mix.
Isn't that lovely? That is lovely, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you start to write it down, don't ring me next year? No, not joking. Passing on the tradition. You're up against Brendan Carr, and Brendan is in Ballybuffet. How are you doing, Brendan?
Not so bad, Ray. How are you?
Good.
How are you doing, Tony?
Liverpool is on your mind.
Hiya.
It is, yeah, it is.
What stage of the Champions League is that tonight, Liverpool v Madrid?
Last 16.
All right, okay. Is this the first of the last 16 games? Of course it is, because they're knockouts.
First of the last 16 games.
Yeah. And is it home? Is it at home or away?
They're at home tonight and away in a few weeks.
Yeah, so there's home and away. They've changed the rules around aggregate scores, haven't they?
Yeah, it used to be away goals, but they've done away with it now, so I think it'll go to penalties if it's
even
overturned.
All right. And how do you feel about that? Would you prefer the aggregate thing or...?
I used to like the away goals.
Yeah.
I used to be lucky with it now and again. So.
And there's a bit of drama, isn't there? And there's a bit of maths involved. And there's a bit of explaining to people who don't know. You know, I don't understand that. Yeah. Okay. What about the pancake situation?
I think I'll be eating them rather than cooking them, right?
Yes. And what will you be topping them with when you're eating them?
Probably Nutella and ice cream.
Nice. Yeah. The cold on the hot is always good. Okay. Lads, you know the deal by now. It's the Whodunit quiz. So I give you a category. I ask you, do you want a clue or not? If you go clueless, you get 2 points. If you opt for a clue, you get one. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. If it's drawn points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Here we go. Tony Burke. First up is music. Music. Do you want a clue or not a clue?
Clueless.
You're going without a clue for 2 points. Who is this?
Standing outside the bar. Standing outside the bar. Life is not tried, it is merely survived if you're standing outside the bar.
The Garth Brooks.
Say again.
Garth Brooks.
It is Garth Brooks. 2 points for you. Well done. And there's the clock. You got in within before. So that's, I don't know that one. Stop it there. Okay. Brendan. Music. Yes, do you want a clue or do you not want a clue?
No clue.
No clue. Okay. Who is this?
You're still the one I run to. The one that I belong to. You're still the one I want for life. You're still the one that I love. The only one I dream of.
Who's that?
Shania Twain.
It is Shania Twain. Well done, yes. You're still the one. 2 points there. Okay, good start from both of you. Next category, Tony Burke, is comedians. How do you feel about that? Do you want to go for a clue or not?
A clueless again.
Clueless again. Okay, comedians, who is this?
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. They sucked. Thank you. Well, I must say you've been a wonderful audience.
Tommy Cooper.
And I'd like to finish now with a little song.
Yeah, we might as well listen to the end of it. But well, yeah.
All right.
I can always tell if an audience is going to be good or bad. Good night.
Tommy Cooper, yes. The brilliant Tommy Cooper. A great fan of his. And you get 2 points for that. Well done. Now, comedians, Brendan. What do you think? Clue or no clue?
No clue, please.
Okay. Who is this comedian?
Sonia O'Sullivan was on the show earlier. I have a connection with her. I tweeted her and I said, oh, can I train with you? Now, when an Olympic runner runs beside you, you can't hear her. It's weird, right? Yeah. Her feet don't really hit the ground. She's beside you, literally going...
Jason Byrne.
Right? And I know...
Jason Byrne is correct. Yes, Jason Byrne.
Help me. Kill me. Help me.
Yeah, very funny. That 2 points to you. So we're all square for all as we go to our final question. Tony, it is TV hosts. TV hosts. So what do you want to do?
Clueless.
Who is this?
I learned from Gay. Gay said, have nothing to do with those tickets. Do not have anything to do with them. On no account, dear boy, have anything to do with tickets for the toy show. And I took his advice. Had nothing to do with tickets for the toy show. I loved presenting the toy show. It was the most fun you can have on television.
Who's that?
Pat Kenny.
It is Pat Kenny, yes. 2 for you. 6 out of 6. You can't do any more. Brendan.
No clue, right?
Well, you have to do that, don't you? So if you get this right, we're into a tiebreak situation. It's TV hosts. Good luck with this. Who is this?
President, Lord Mayor, Taoiseach,
and in particular visiting delegates from all over Europe, Radio Telefi Sharon is pleased to welcome you once again to the Point Theatre in Dublin for what has almost become the annual Eurovision Song Contest of Ireland.
Who's that? Need an answer?
No, I don't know, right?
No, Dana. Mary Kennedy. Mary Kennedy. Presenting the Eurovision in the Point Theatre. I suppose they're tough if you don't know them. that was a tough enough one. We're going to send out a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup, Brendan. Great talking to you, and good luck to Liverpool tonight, and enjoy the pancakes. See you, Brendan.
That's great. Okay,
good luck. See you.
Well done, Tony.
Thank you, Brendan.
Right, Tony, well done is right. Yeah, so you're off with a person of your choice, which is probably your wife, to the Tower Hotel in Waterford City. And you get to go to Mount Congreve Gardens and the Waterford Treasures as well. And you can look what's in store for you, towerhotelwaterford.com.
That's brilliant, Ray. Thanks a million.
Enjoy that. See you, Tony. Bye now.
I will indeed.
Bye,
bye. All the best. Bye,
bye.
Bye.
Good luck. See you. Bye. 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 Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, 51551, ray@rte.ie. They're said to be one of the breakthrough acts of the decade, and they join me now in studio ahead of their 2023 world tour. Inhaler.
Hello.
Minus one.
Yeah. James, just say hello and yeah at the same time. Can you tell
too much time?
Can you tell we live together?
So we've Eli, and we've Ryan and Josh. So Robert's missing. He's the bassist. Not well today.
No.
So second album released on Friday. So that's two albums in how many years?
I couldn't tell you what year it is. Right now.
When was the first one? 2021.
Yeah.
So that's nearly prolific, isn't it?
I know.
The difficult second album and all that.
There's that, yeah.
And it was difficult.
But I think people are enjoying it, which is nice. Yeah.
I was listening to it there over the weekend, and These Are The Days, which was the lead single, whatever. That's going to be used over and over again in those montages. You know, those sports montages? It's one of those, isn't it?
American 2000s films. American Pie or something.
So for people who don't know about you, you met at school.
Yeah. Well, three of us did. Rob, Ryan and I met in school in Andrews, and we met Josh because he was in another band in New Park, and they were much better than us. So,
so was there competition between Andrews and New Park?
Unspoken.
We did have a gig together before, and it was good fun. Well, our band was, we didn't really make songs, we just made noise.
So it was cool, shoegaze.
Yeah. Shoegazy.
That's our excuse now. We just had everything turned up really loud to just block
the vocal.
How bad everything was, but they actually had like actual songs and that you could hear everything. But you're with us now, and we're here seven years later, or whatever it is now.
And it's refreshing to hear your album, because so much of what we hear today is overproduced, sampled, dancey, and you're a good old four-piece rock and roll band.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
But that's what you are, aren't you?
I think so, yeah.
Not sure. Well, so.
Last time I checked.
But
it is nice. And I mean, I definitely think rock music can definitely be overproduced as well. I don't know, maybe it's just because we have so much technology and electronics and the computer sounds that people like to hear the clang of a guitar, or you know, maybe that's why we buy vinyl and go back to analog stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, something tangible, I guess. But we've always been into it from like a young age.
And from the age of 12.
Yeah. And like, you know, like when we were 12, it was like the most uncool thing you could do was pick up a guitar. And it seems that more and more kids are getting into it now, so it's good.
So were you slagged off then?
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Still are.
Right.
But I mean, you know, it was kind of fun that when we were 12 or 13, we were listening to bands like Pixies and Nirvana that everyone like didn't really get when they were 12 or 13, but now most people that we speak to love at least four or five of the songs by all of those bands, you know. Good music just comes around, doesn't it?
Well, if they don't like them, they at least have the t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I'm interested to know about school and so 12, 3, bar Josh, sorry Josh, I'll have to leave you there with this.
Awesome.
But so you're in school and you're doing something that's uncool. And all the usual stuff that happens in secondary school, career guidance, What are you going to do when you leave school? What subjects are you choosing for your leaving cert?
It was just really interesting doing those courses in school where you have to fill out a CAO and everything, and music is just not an option, which is kind of crazy. You know, if I said to someone, oh, I want to be a musician when I'm older, it's like, it should be valid enough. Look how many bands and artists there are in the world, you know? So, yeah, that was a bit tough, but despite popular disbelief, we do all have a leaving cert.
But congratulations. Never,
yeah,
just barely.
And what about the chats then from family? Were they were coming along to gigs? I read somewhere that at one gig there was seven and two were parents. Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. But, I mean, the best parents want you to do what makes you happy. You know, like you were telling us, your young lad's learning to play the bass. If you wanted to be a bass player when he's older, you'd probably be like, cool. Yeah. But, you know.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know.
Our reaction from our parents was
This is our relationship. One person will say something and then immediately it's like, no, don't say that.
We did get very lucky. We were given a year because we all got courses and we deferred for a year.
And that was the thing.
We were like, if we can do something in this year, can we continue? And we all got the green light on that. Mm. And lucky enough for us, it all continued.
It's a difficult enough life and becoming more difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
The way the world has gone, the way music has gone and Spotify, it's a lot more difficult to make a career out of it.
I know, it's like the world's trying to stomp us out of existence.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Do you get that? Do you see that? Or are you just full of youthful enthusiasm?
I don't think we think about it too much. Yeah. You can't, because it will just drive you insane. Also, there's no real way of telling what way the music industry is going to be. I mean, it started off being like vinyl being the only way you consume music. Then it was Spotify. Now it's neither of those things. It's all TikTok that runs. Mm. TikTok runs the world now. There's no real way of knowing what makes a song big. Otherwise, everyone would do it. So yeah, it's changing all the time, but we just, honestly, we just write songs, we just make music.
Yeah, so you're not thinking about the future, you're just living in the moment, which we're all told to do.
I think so, yeah.
By all the wise
people.
It's
hard to do, but I think it's necessary.
So a world tour, and part of that is coming to Slane to support Harry Styles.
Yeah.
That's 80,000 people, is it?
Or? Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I know, I don't know how we dragged our way into that one.
Is that the biggest? That'll be the biggest.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. They're not there to see us, but
no,
we're there to see them.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Do you wake up in the middle of the night going, 80,000 people? Is it? You live in the moment.
We do.
Thankfully not, but I think...
It doesn't feel real. After the COVID, I think we learned to just take things as they come. And it won't feel real until...
The day
it happens.
Yeah.
Even Glastonbury didn't feel real until we came off stage. And we were like, did we just do that?
Mm.
Yeah. But it's very strange.
Very strange being ye.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
What about your classmates? What are they? They're all, some of them are probably finishing up medicine.
A few of them moved to Australia recently.
Yeah. It seems like our entire age group is either moving to Australia or London or Berlin or wherever. So our classmates are...
gone.
Yeah.
It's funny because
living real lives.
Yeah, they are living real lives. And it's funny because we go on tour for the majority of the year, and when we come back for 2 days here and there, we're kind of like, where is everyone?
Yeah.
And their lives have moved on, but we've kind of stayed the same. And
isn't that the brilliant thing?
Yeah. It's a little strange though, because you're still the same person you were when you left, when we were like 18, and then everybody else is kind of...
different worries.
Yeah.
Real life.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah. So what you're saying is pop and roll. Keeps you young.
Maybe on the inside, but not on the outside. It does the opposite.
Yeah. Third album title.
Pop and roll, yeah.
And Ella, you're constantly been asked by your dad, right? So it would be remiss of me.
Oh, no, that's a fair question.
No, but I'm reading the book, and there is a mention of the childer. Well, a few mentions. But he says that, as in your dad, Bono, says that he sat you down, each one of you, there's four children, when you were 12.
Mm.
And this is his version of events.
Mm.
And said, listen, we might fall out and disagree with each other over the next few years. That's the way of the world. That's what happens in teenage years. Now, we can do that or we can skip it and stay mates.
Yeah.
That's the way it happened, did it?
Not exactly like
that. No. He's more eloquent than I'm saying it. Yes.
Yeah, no. Essentially, yeah. I mean, it's funny because he writes about in the book, a lot of people saying, how are you going to be a good father if you're away the whole time? But I think he makes a good point of saying that, most dads are out of the house from 6 till 9 at night and they come back and you completely miss them during the week. But I did see him quite a lot when I was a kid. Mm. He was a good dad.
Yeah. And is he a good mentor? Does he advise you, lads?
We got some good advice in the beginning,
you know,
just like about how to not lose yourself completely. And
yeah,
there's one piece of advice was, you know, my mum used to make him when he came off tour, book One Night in the Clarence just to decompress before he came home into the house.
We've not done that yet.
Haven't done that. That's a good one now.
And that brilliant line I've quoted to a lot of people, he's talked about his dad, your grandfather.
Yeah.
You were just very young. No memories.
He died when I was two.
No memories of him. And he was an opera singer, and he was saying that to move people with music, you have to be moved by music yourself.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think absolutely.
It's very true.
Even Rick Rubin, I was listening to something he was saying recently, was you've got to kind of sort of believe in, not magic, but some sort of thing that's bigger than yourself to actually be moved by music.
Yeah.
And that's hard, very hard to do when it's your job. And the last thing you want to do when you come off stage is sit down and listen to, like, you know, more music.
It's odd that you say it's your job, because I doubt that your dad at your age referred to it as a job.
No, I don't know.
Has the world changed, has it?
I think you've got to treat it with respect. And like, actually, as he says in the book, I think if you care about your art, you care about what shop it's sold in. And I think you do have to think of it as anti, you know, hippie as that is. It is sort of... it's a business, you know. It's not the most punk thing we could say, but we're not a punk band, so we get away with it.
I don't think we view it as a job, more so as something that we have to do. You know, this is what we do, we have to do it. And, you know, there's people who buy tickets to come and see us. And as Eli said, we try to treat it with as much respect as we can so that we can play as many gigs as we possibly can. Mm. And, you know, we don't want to let anybody down. I mean, we've played gigs with... lost voices and broken arms. Not broken arms.
They're not bands, they're ailments.
Lost voices.
Sounds like a good name for a band.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
We always called...
oh, God, let's not go there.
No, not go one for the crack.
Go on, lads. Let one of them out.
What was like a bad one? Like, they're all bad. please.
I go one.
God.
You've ended up with an inhaler, which is good, right?
Yes.
So prior to that...
what were we? I don't want to be
like
the one
speeding blue or something.
Yeah, we were speeding blue for one gig.
Right.
What is that about? Like,
yeah, I'm speeding blue.
What band were you in, Josh?
We had a brilliant name.
That was a good name.
We were called the Reflectors.
That's a good name. Yeah, there was a band, a Dublin band called the Radiators.
Oh,
yeah. Radiators of Space.
Yes, Radiators of Space.
That's
a
very good name.
Yeah.
Names matter, don't they?
Well, I don't know.
I think names they become. Themselves.
You grow into them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, the Beatles is a bad pun.
Yeah.
But like,
but it's because
they're
legendary now.
It's legendary because they're legendary.
Yeah.
They spell Beatle wrong.
Part of the beat scene.
Which is, I never knew that until last week.
But there you go.
Mind you, if it wasn't already a band name and one of these lads came up with the Rolling Stones, I think everyone would be just like, yeah.
True.
You know? So Cuts and Bruises is out now. Inhaler, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And send our best regards to Rob and tell him to get better soon.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Inhaler, these are the days from their new album Cuts and Bruises. And yes, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's it from us. Enjoy your pancakes. Be careful with the parchment paper and the air fryer. Cormac is on the way on Drive Time, and we are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.